House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is preparing to send two articles of impeachment to the Senate next week, signaling the start of the impeachment trial. Meanwhile, the House passed a resolution yesterday limiting President Trump's ability to attack Iran after Trump ordered the targeted killing of an Iranian general without consulting Congress. Last night at a rally in Toledo, President Trump took aim at Speaker Pelosi and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders.
But here's a guy who slaughtered and butchered civilians all over and military, whoever was in his way. And we have Bernie and Nancy Pelosi. We have them all. They're all trying to say, how dare you take him out that way? You should get permission from Congress. You should come in and tell us what you want to do.
Joining us now is our Friday Politics Roundtable, Tolu Olorunipa, who is White House reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Tolu.
Hey there.
And Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
Well, what about this news today on impeachment? Now we know the articles are likely to be transmitted to the Senate next week. Rick, what are you hearing? When is the trial going to start?
The delay is finally over. The trial could start as soon as Wednesday. That's a critical date. It's the day after the next Democratic primary debate, so it means the senators can stay seated for that time. And it's not clear what Nancy Pelosi will have achieved in this. It now appears like that she will be sending these over with votes teed up on the House managers and other procedural motions by Tuesday or so. So we're eyeballing the middle of the week for the beginning of a trial.
And Tolu, one thing that maybe she achieved, I'm not sure if this was her plan or not, but is that if the trial is in process when the president gives his State of the Union speech on February 4th, he won't be able to get up there and say, look, I was acquitted by the Senate. Is that what part of the delay was about?
No one would say that publicly, but I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi knows the timing and the schedule better than anyone else. And she may have considered not only the fact that the Senate Republicans had said that they're going to be coordinating with the president, that they're already planning on ways to dismiss these articles of impeachment against the president, but also the fact that as time plays out, more people will pay attention to the fact that there are questions about witnesses and who should testify, and the fact that President Trump is going to have to address the nation at a time where he likely will be in the middle of a trial for his survival.
Yeah, speaking of witnesses, Rick, one big question is whether former National Security Advisor John Bolton will testify about his knowledge about withholding that military aid to Ukraine for investigations of Joe Biden. Bolton has offered to testify, which really begs the question, how can Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell say he's conducting a fair trial if he's not willing to hear from a witness with key information?
Yeah, the pressure will be immense, and I think it's going to fall to the members of the Senate. It won't be McConnell's call. It's going to be whatever 51 senators decide. And those are the key pressure points that Democrats are going to be focused in on. I think rather than the broad structural questions, it could be a question of witness by witness. Do you think a majority of senators, do you want to vote? And then it puts some pressure on some moderate Republicans who may want to actually get to the facts of this and may want to demonstrate that they are doing their duty as senators.
Yeah. Yesterday at the White House, President Trump actually asked whether Bolton will testify. He was asked that.
Well, that's going to be up to the lawyers. It'll be up to the Senate, and we'll see how they feel. He would know nothing about what we're talking about.
Tolu, aside from not wanting Bolton to testify, what does the White House want to see in this trial?
Well, they've gone back and forth for the past several weeks about what they want. At one point, President Trump said he wanted a robust trial with witnesses that he believed would be politically advantageous to him, including, you know, calling Adam Schiff as a witness, calling Hunter Biden and Joe Biden up to testify. Now it seems like they want something more quick that would have a definitive dismissal of these charges against the president so he can say that he was exonerated, he was acquitted by the Senate. He wants this over with pretty quickly. So it seems like they do not want some of these major witnesses, including John Bolton and Mick Mulvaney, to testify, even though they would have direct knowledge about what the president did in terms of his relations with Ukraine in 2019.
This is all going on, of course, as we are watching the increased tensions with Iran. And in his column yesterday, former George W. Bush speechwriter David Frum held President Trump responsible for the deaths of 176 people on that Ukrainian jet shot down in Iran. Rick, isn't this exactly the kind of misstep, if that's what it was, and a missile was shot by the Iranians by mistake, isn't this exactly the kind of misstep that many people warned would be more likely with tensions raised so high between the U.S. and Iran as a result of the killing of Soleimani?
That's one of the things that these tensions mean, is that people are on that hair trigger. And you wonder what the reaction would be in the United States right now if those were American citizens and not Canadian citizens, say, on board that aircraft. It raises questions about what exactly we're in right now, because as the president and the White House continues to explain what pretext there was for taking out Soleimani, it becomes more evident that the strategy after that is critical here. And we can't be responsible for everything the Iranians do, but the tensions are at a higher point, and it does raise that possibility of either calculated or miscalculated atrocities or fallout.
There's also a lot of anger on Capitol Hill about the intelligence briefings that the members of Congress got from the administration this week. Reporters today asked Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to explain the shifting rationales for the targeted killing.
We had specific information on an imminent threat, and those threat stream included attacks on U.S. embassies. Period. Full stop.
So you were mistaken when you said you didn't know precisely when and you didn't know precisely where.
Completely true. Those are completely consistent thoughts. I don't know exactly which minute. We don't know exactly which day it would have been executed.
Tolu, isn't the administration going to have to provide more information about the threat that they acted on?
Well, they have had a really hard time providing a consistent message. Even the information that they put out so far has been inconsistent. So not only will they need to provide more information, but they need to get in a room and figure out what their message is about what this threat was, whether it was imminent, whether it involved specific embassies, which President Trump said the embassy in Baghdad was a target. We've heard from other officials that they did not bring that up in this closed-door briefing with the Senate. So they need to figure out a way to put out a message to show that there was a reason for to carrying out this highly provocative strike on an Iranian official to take him out off the field because it was an imminent threat. And if it wasn't imminent, then that is part of the reason that a bipartisan group of members of Congress are saying that we should be involved. We have a role here in terms of the War Powers Act. And right now, the administration has not been able to provide answers to mollify those concerns in the House and in the Senate.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. 8 Democrats bucked their party and voted against a war powers resolution yesterday. 3 Republicans did too, voting yes to limit the president's military actions against Iran. One of them was Trump supporter Matt Gaetz of Florida.
I support the president. Killing Soleimani was the right decision, but engaging in another forever war in the Middle East would be the wrong decision, and that's why I'm voting for this resolution.
Rick, is the Senate likely to follow suit next week? What would that mean?
Well, it'll be an interesting dynamic in the Senate because you have a number of more libertarian-minded or institutionally-minded senators, Mike Lee and Rand Paul, both of whom said they were dissatisfied by the briefing the administration put forward that are voting there. So even though this is largely toothless, it's largely a symbolic vote, I do think the way that it scrambles party lines in even the slightest of ways, it's surprising these days when anyone crosses party lines. So to have those numbers and including a Trump supporter voting with the Democrats is something to take note of.
Yeah, let's move on now to the 2020 presidential election. Billionaire Tom Steyer became the latest candidate to qualify for the next Democratic debate Tuesday night. New polls show him pulling in the double digits, which is the top 4 in Nevada and South Carolina. Tolu, is this surprising?
It is somewhat surprising, but there have been a lot of surprising things about this race.
Yeah.
It just shows that if you have $1 billion and you can put millions of dollars on air in some of these states, including South Carolina and Nevada, where some of these other candidates are struggling just to, you know, get their name recognition up in Iowa and New Hampshire, it does allow for movement in the polls, and it does allow someone who a year ago was not seen as a contender to be a major contender. And Tom Steyer is on that list, and Michael Bloomberg may be on that list as well.
Well, Tom Steyer is going to be on the debate stage next week. Michael Bloomberg is not going to be there. Amy Klobuchar will. Pete Buttigieg will. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden. Rick, who's the target going to be on next week? Because it does seem like, depending on the poll you look at, a lot of them are kind of in the top 3 in different places.
Yeah, it's a jumble of a race. There's no question. And I think, though, the Iowa target, a lot of folks still talk about Pete Buttigieg. That's his chance for a breakout moment. And I think there'll be scrutiny on him. Amy Klobuchar is another one to keep an eye on. If she's got a path to the nomination, it has to run through Iowa. We should also just tip our hats to the 2 front runners at some point, because for all of the tumult there's been in this race, the fact that Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are 1-2, 2-1 consistently in the polls statewide and national is something of an achievement.
Okay. And finally, we have to talk about the jobs report, Tolu, that came out today. 145,000 jobs in December. Unemployment rates stay steady at 3.5%. The Dow hits another record high today, 29,000 for the first time. President Trump's got to be happy about that, looking at reelection later this year.
Yeah. And he tries to talk about it. I was at his rally in Ohio last night. He spent some time talking about the economy. It's hard for those numbers to break through when you have impeachment going on. You've got a potential war with Iran. You've got the Democratic presidential campaign. But President Trump and his allies are trying to push that message that the economy is strong. And he's taking credit for it. And he's saying that don't go with any of these Democrats because they would tank the economy. And I expect we'll hear much more of that over the next 10 months.
Tolu Olorunipa, White House reporter for The Washington Post, and Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Thanks to both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.